All right. Well, again, I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, and I want to thank you. You are a great church. It took a lot to get up this morning and come out today, and just excited to see all of your faces, and especially those of you that, you know, that braved further distances to be here. Thank you. We're grateful, and we love you very much. And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. God is so faithful. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we've been studying this passage over the last couple weeks, and we've started off with looking at that He is a mighty God, or a wonderful counselor. We started off with, last week we talked about mighty God, and this morning we're going to talk about everlasting Father, and you'll notice in your bulletin, of course, we've got a place there for you to fill in the blanks, and there's a name at the top of those notes that says Pastor Larry Betancourt, and of course you know that I am not he. His flight was canceled last night, and so I just kind of jumped in there and got it done. So this morning we're just going to spend time. I wasn't planning on sharing with you. I was planning on allowing Larry to do that, but I cherish this. This is how many know when there's something that you love to do, it's not even though it may be hard work, it's not hard. It's easy, and it gives you life. You know, people talk about strengths and weaknesses, and you can tell where your strengths are, because even when you're doing something, if it's really hard, you actually feel stronger afterward. You feel a stronger person. You did something. You might be exerted a lot of energy, but you feel stronger afterward. And that's the same for me, doing this. Some of you may not ever could imagine yourself standing up and doing something like this. This is the easy part. This is the part when I'm done, I feel stronger. It's unloading the trailer and loading it back up. That makes you feel tired and weaker, but this is the easy part. But thank you for coming. Very, very grateful, and we trust that what we experience in this room today will give you life. And it will be worth the trip, worth the adventure here. Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this morning we're going to be talking about everlasting Father. And just again to a quick recap, Isaiah is writing this passage in chapter 9 of his book. He's writing it following all of the other chapters, those previous eight, talking about the struggle that Israel's in, what they're facing, the hardship, persecution, captivity, all of the things that they're facing, a judgment by God, all of these things. And all of a sudden, Isaiah comes up with this word of the Lord, this prophecy that is 700 years prior to its fulfillment. And here we find ourselves looking at this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God," and say this with me, "Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is where this prophecy for us gets personal. You know, God starts off with saying, "I'm the Wonderful Counselor. I'm going to be Pele Yats. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to be wonderful, too marvelous even to speak of. That's who I am. That's what I'm going to be. And I'm going to be a mighty God. I'm going to be all powerful. I'm going to be everywhere, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all powerful, everywhere. You can't escape him, all knowing." He says, "I'm going to be all of that. But here's where I'm going to get real personal," God's saying. "I'm going to be everlasting. I'm going to be an everlasting, not just everlasting God." He says, "I'm going to be an everlasting Father. I'm going to be a kind of Father that never leaves, everlasting, perpetual, without stopping. I'm going to be your Father." And Jesus comes representing God the Father for us. Jesus said that if you've seen me, as he's communicating with the people, he says, "If you've seen me, you will have seen the Father." Jesus saying, "I'm going to reveal the Father to you. You will know what the Father's like. You will know the Father's heart for you as a result of watching what I do, as a result of being around me." This is what Jesus is sharing with the people. And he came to make sure that people understood this prophecy, again, this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father. Jesus came to make sure that we recognized who God was. Going back to our offering scripture, for God so loved the world, we have a loving Father. Now, unfortunately, we have two fathers, you could say. We have a natural father or an earthly father, and we have a heavenly father. And unfortunately, many of us may have experienced an upbringing with our earthly father that makes it difficult for us to see God. When we hear He is a Father, it's difficult for us to understand that He could be everlasting in a good way. You know, as an earthly father, just a couple quick things, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but because some of you may have had some wonderful, you know, your fathers have been phenomenal, and you've learned and gleaned a lot from them, and it helps you be a better dad. But a lot of us, unfortunately, have not had those same type of experience. Now, I thank God that I have a wonderful father, that my dad was loving, is a loving dad, and you know, raised me in a home where I grew up understanding the things of God and what it was to have a relationship with God, and grew up understanding what it was like to treat your wife, your woman, properly. My dad never raised his hand at my mom. I didn't ever hear him speaking, you know, forcefully or coarsely to her. People are people, and there's times where, you know, good discussion took place, but there was never a harsh word, never a name that was called that was demeaning. And so I grew up in that sort of an environment and learned that there's a way to treat a woman. There's a way to love your wife. And I thank God for that. But unfortunately, again, we haven't necessarily been brought up in this. And so there's the lens in which we see God may be skewed. Unfortunately, when we hear everlasting Father, the lens in which we look at God and how we see Him, how we think about God, how we filter this verse, this prophecy that He is everlasting, an everlasting Father, may be difficult. Because for us, number one in your notes, sometimes our earthly fathers, a father, we may have had a father who is never satisfied. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just, you know, imagine never satisfied. You know, an A is the only grade you can come home with. Never satisfied with anything less than that. Have to be perfect. An environment when you're scrutinized. Never get a good enough grades. Never good enough at sports. You may have grew up in an environment where you felt like you're constantly striving and working to please your father, to please your dad. And unfortunately, in that sort of negative environment, there's almost nothing that we can do to find a way to please. The next, sometimes our earthly fathers is a father who is always angry. What a difficult environment to grow up in. And some of us have a lens, when we view God through this lens, that God could not possibly be happy with me. God could not possibly be pleased with me. God could not possibly, when He sees me, you know, feel love or feel peace. And unfortunately, because of our earthly fathers and earthly relationships, we look through a glass darkly or dimly, so to speak, or we look through a lens that has been skewed and is not clear and is not bright and is not perfect. Feel like there's a time bomb. It's always ticking. You know, feel like you're walking on eggshells because you don't know what you can say, when you can say it. Can you talk about things? Can you ask about things? There might have been some words that have spoken to you that still haunt you. You know, some of us, 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75 years old, and still coarse words from a father are still ringing in our ears because we grew up maybe in a home where our father was always angry. Even worse than that, maybe actions of abuse that some people struggle with. And these are difficult things, but thank God, you know, we have a godly father, our heavenly father, who is everlasting in love and in mercy. We're going to look at that. Some of us, number three, may have grown up with a father who is seldom there. Or felt like seldom there. Some of us may have grown up in a home where maybe our mom raised us, and maybe we weren't around our father. Maybe our father passed on prematurely, and maybe we really knew him, didn't know him, or maybe we knew him for a while, but that ended. And so we grow up in this environment where it feels like our dad is seldom there. Maybe again, divorced home, or maybe works a lot, missed a lot of different things. He didn't see things. And some of us, you know, have stories of, you know, when maybe we were doing something that was really important to us and dad should have been there, but he wasn't. And so there are some times that we look through that lens talking about the everlasting Father God, excuse me, we look through that lens and it's dark. It's skewed. It's not biblical. It doesn't truly reveal our Heavenly Father to us. So what I want to do, though, is I want to talk about our Heavenly Father. Because most fathers, even though our earthly fathers, no matter how good they are, still don't compare to our Heavenly Father. And no matter how hard those of us that are fathers, that are working toward this, I mean, we've all had a father at one point or we wouldn't be here. So we've all been fathered. But no matter how hard a father tries, we fall short. We make mistakes and we miss it. But our everlasting Heavenly Father doesn't miss it. And so what we want to do in the next few moments this morning is help us to renew our lenses, renew our sight and our ability to see God for who He truly is. Allow ourselves maybe to experience some healing if there's still some pain that we're dealing with. Allow ourselves maybe to actually be honest. Maybe we haven't really ever been honest about what our experiences are as an earthly father. We've never truly embraced God properly. We've never truly embraced God in a way that brings life to us because of our earthly encounters. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take a look here first before I get into that is Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. I want us to hear what God says as a father to His Son. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is Jesus. He's being baptized by John in the river. By John the Baptist, and as he comes up out of the water, we see this miraculous manifestation of God. The Holy Spirit descends as a dove upon Jesus, and an audible voice is heard, not just by Jesus. An audible voice is heard by all those that are present, and the voice, God, he says this. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well." What is it? Say it with me. "In whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Interesting enough, God says this, declares this over His Son before any miracle is performed, before Jesus even steps into the ministry that He was called to, before He allows Himself to be beaten and bruised for our transgressions, before He allows Himself to be whipped and stripes on His back for our healing, before He allows His arms to be stretched out and nailed to a cross, before He dies for us, we hear God the Father making a declaration over His Son. "This is my Son." Now, it's easy for an earthly father when his son does well or his daughter does well, and you know, it's like, "Yeah, that's my boy. That's my girl. Look at her. Look what she did. Good job." But this is a father stepping in before anything is accomplished, before anything is achieved, saying, "I'm pleased with you. I love you. I'm proud of you." See, our God is a God that plants seed because He expects a harvest. Our God is a God that planted His Son because He expected a harvest of us. Our God is a God that declares things and calls things that may not even be yet. He calls them, even though they're not seen, but He calls them what He wants them to be. He calls things that be not as though they were. We have an everlasting Father. I want you to think, could just do this for a moment. Just close your eyes right where you are. Just close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to hear the Spirit of God, God Himself, speak to you, maybe even on the inside of you. I want you to hear Him say, "I'm proud of you." That you hear God speak to you saying, "You know what? I am well pleased with you." Allow Him to say that to you. And in this, even in this moment, as your eyes are closing and you're hearing me say it, allow the Spirit of God to join in with that, saying, "I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. I love you." And possibly in this moment, as you're sitting there still, that healing, even in this moment, healing begins to take place. Because God's not looking to love you based on your accomplishments. And God does not cease to love you based on your failures and weaknesses. He truly is pleased with you. Go ahead and open your eyes this morning. In the next three points. I'm going to share with us about our everlasting Father. And this is all about renewing those lenses. And the first thing is this, is our everlasting Father is compassionate. And thank God He is. And again, no matter how great some of our homes have been, no matter how compassionate and loving our earthly fathers are, there's still an understanding that needs to take place, or what we would call a revelation, an eye-opening, just something revealed to us that was almost impossible to grasp and to know. God brings revelation that He is a compassionate, everlasting Father. Look what it says in Psalm 103, verse 8. This is a great passage of Scripture. And this says, the Lord is what? The Lord is compassionate, and He is gracious. He is slow to anger. You know, talking about our earthly fathers seem like always angry. Our everlasting Father is slow to anger. It takes a lot for God to express anger or to reveal anger. And it's never at us as a person. It's more at sin, and it's more at maybe what we do. It's anger at disobedience, but never at the disobedient one. God is a loving God, and it says in Romans that it's the goodness of God, it's the love of God that brings men and women to repentance. It's God's love, it's His compassion and His grace that brings us to a place that says, you know what, God, I love you. God, I don't know how you love me. I mean, we all know our individual faults and weaknesses and failures. We all know all too well. We're reminded all too well by our adversary, the devil, all too well of our mistakes and our weaknesses. Maybe we're even reminded by those people that are even supposed to love us sometimes, reminded of our pitfalls and the weaknesses in our personalities. But our everlasting Father, He is compassionate. Let us cleanse the lens. Let us renew it. Let us see God for who He truly is. You cannot do anything to earn the Father's love. Hear that and hear it again. Let me say it again. You cannot do anything to earn His love. And yeah, you know what, in our day and age, and in the natural world, the earthly world that we live in, we find ourselves maybe under the thumb, under the gun. We find ourselves striving and striving for that approval. But there's nothing you and I can do to earn His love. Really, what we do is a result of His love. Not to earn it, not to gain it. He is an everlasting Father that is full of compassion, gracious and kind, loving and merciful. John 16, verse 27, it says, the Father Himself, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's leaving with them kind of some last words, kind of a ceremonial goodbye, and He expresses some things about what life is to be like when He's gone. But He makes this statement very short. The Father Himself loves you. Would you just, under your breath, just for a moment, just say that? Say, God the Father loves me. Just whisper that to yourself. Say it out loud so you can hear it. God the Father loves me. He loves me. God loves me. God is compassionate toward me. God is slow in anger toward me. God is gracious toward me. God is merciful to me. If there's anything that could cause us, even when we're alone, on our own, in our car driving, one hand in our car driving, when we're in the house, in the shower, in our room, in our quiet place, in our place of prayer, if there's anything that would cause us to lift our hands in worship and surrender to God the Father, is that, God, You love me. You Yourself love me. He is compassionate and gracious. And something that takes place, that flows in that moment, is really rest. It's just this rest that comes. I don't know if you've ever experienced, maybe for yourself, or you've had the privilege of helping somebody else be comforted or rest. As a parent possibly, or as a friend, someone might have just, maybe they had a major failure, a major fault, and you were in that moment, and you somehow, maybe even by the Spirit of God, were able to put your arm around them and comfort them. Or maybe you yourself You know, maybe in sports or in school, and you were striving to achieve something and you failed. You just didn't quite win. You just didn't quite get that achievement that you wanted. And yet somebody that loved you came up, put their arm around you and comforted you. It's going to be all right. You did your best. You gave it your all. It's okay. We'll get them next time. And what happens in those moments is just this, okay, it's going to be all right. If you ever comforted a child that, you know, maybe, you know, learning to ride their bike and they, you know, training wheels are off and here we go and they're struggling and they didn't quite get it and you're able to come up and say, you know what, it's okay. You put your arm around them and bring rest. This is exactly the picture that our everlasting, compassionate Father brings for us. Is rest. Rest. Look what it says with me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 29. This is Jesus speaking. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. that's all of us, I can imagine. You know, because I mean, it's hey, times are tough. Whether we're experiencing it as bad as it may get, or we're just thinking about it, or we're in the middle of it, we're at the bottom of it. You know, all you who are weary and burdened, or as the King James translation says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, there's this weight that is upon you. Jesus is saying, come to me. Hear him, hear the everlasting Father speaking to you. Come here. Come here. Let me comfort you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, say it with me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, say it, you will find rest for your souls, for your mind, your will, and your emotions, for your thinking, for the things that are concerning you, for the weight and responsibility, those of you that are leading things, the boss, the owner, the manager, the husband, the leading the home, the single mom leading the home, you've got great responsibilities, or you're sensing it in the environment that you're in, whether on the job or with school, and there's just this weight that seems to be coming. Would you hear your everlasting Father, your compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, humble, gentle in heart Father say to you, come here. Come here. You know, I mean, it's like that. It's just come here. I think sometimes God is just kind of like wrapping his arm around us and just kind of almost like a noogie. Come here. Come here. Just relax. Rest, he's saying. Take my yoke upon you. Guys, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult the struggle, no matter how deep the dip we find ourselves in, this prophecy was revealing to us that there is an everlasting, our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, that is simply saying, come here. He's calling, he's outstretched arm, he is drawing you in, and all we simply have to do is almost like, okay, all right, okay, God, here I am. It's really coming to a place. That's why he kind of leads us in this, where he says he's gentle, he's humble in heart, because a lot of times what keeps us from experiencing the rest that God has for us, a lot of times is pride. And it might not be big, arrogant, cocky pride. It might be that little, almost undetectable pride that makes it difficult for us just to say, okay, all right, I can't do this. In and of myself, I can't do it. And even if we can do it in and of ourselves, the burden of it is unbearable. So we step in to those arms of love and we rest. We take his yoke on us, cast it off. You know, it's just like, I mean, listen, yoga can't do it. you might feel a little peace, but yoga's not going to fix it. He didn't say, I am the wonderful counselor, mighty God, the yoga guru. He didn't say that. He says, I'm everlasting Father. And he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. He says, because it's easy. And he says, my burden is light. And he says, rest. find a place in His arms. There's a great song we used to sing a few years back called Arms of Love. And it's just this, I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, my loving Jesus. You know, and it goes, I'm thankful for the things You've done. My heart is glad that You've called me Your own. There's no place I'd rather be in Your arms of love. And just singing about God, Your arms, You are love. You are rest. He is compassionate. The next is, our everlasting Father cares. He's not just compassionate. He doesn't just say rest. You know, He doesn't, and it's not in that kind of a way like sometimes, you know, listen, you guys, I don't know what you think of me as a person up here, but I know I have opinions of people that I see in this sort of environment, and sometimes it's not real. It's just you're hearing somebody communicate. Listen, man, I make some mistakes with my kids. I am a bonehead at times. I'm going to tell on myself for a second. The other day, the way our refrigerator is it's real close. There's a little wall, a little opening in the refrigerator here, and Eden's cleaning up the table, putting things away, and she opens up the refrigerator, and the door kind of gets away from her, and her finger kind of gets smashed between the handle and the wall, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, what happened? Now, how many of you know when you hurt yourself, you don't want somebody asking questions, all right? You don't want, what happened? What'd you do? What'd you do? And you're just hurting. They're crying. There's pain. And it's like, you don't want, what'd you do? What happened? And it's like, here I am asking these questions. It's like, I can just, if someone was doing that to me, I would be like, seriously, are you kidding me? I'm doing that. And it's like, I'm frustrating my daughter who's in pain. She's crying. Her finger's all, you know, throbbing and everything. I mean, it's just a simple little thing, but a lot of times, you know, we have a hard time picturing our everlasting Father as someone that really cares. God, you care about me? God, seriously, out of all the things that you deal with, the scheme of life, all the billions of people on this planet, all the things that are happening, He cares about you. Individually, in whatever world you're in, and whatever circumstances you're dealing with, our everlasting Father cares. He's compassionate and He cares. God knows the details, the minute details, the things that we really don't want anybody else to know, like how many hairs are on our head, or when your good friend calls you Friar Tuck because you got the little circle going on. God knows how many hairs are missing, how many hairs were there. You know, I would never tell that Shannon. I'm sorry, I said it, didn't I? Calls me Friar. I've had my own. I call him Costanza though too, because he's, you know, like Costanza. His wallet. You ever see Shannon's wallet? Everyone, Shannon's got, you know, he's got the one more thing, and the wallet's gonna burst. One more little coupon. His wallet's so big. All right, I'll stop. Anyway, our God cares, and He knows the details. He knows how many little pieces of paper are in Shannon's wallet. He knows every detail. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I had to tell on myself because I, you know, told on you. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. This is God speaking to us. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Think of this. God's plan, His purpose is to prosper us, to increase us, to bless us, to benefit us, to build us up, to encourage us, to give us life. And it's not just something that, oh, isn't that good, that you just stumble into by accident. Our God is saying that He says, I know that I am planning this. I'm preparing for it. I'm making preparation. I'm going to cause it to happen. It's my purpose. It's my will to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to, listen to this, say it with me, to what? To give you hope. Why? Because He cares. He says, I want to give you hope and a future. I mean, if there's ever a time, I mean, in our day right now, I mean, there's a lot of things that are hopeless. There's a lot of things that feel like they're hopeless. A lot of things that there's moments where it feels like, you know what? I don't know that I even want to continue on the road that I'm on right now. whether it be in a job, whether it be in school, whether it be in a relationship, it might be in your finances, there may be some things that just feel like there is no more hope. And he is declaring to us, as he says, come to me, rest. Why? Because he says, I know the plans I have for you. Hear him saying this to you? He's like, I know what I've planned for you. I know the good intentions, and not just intentions, but the scheme, the plan, the strategy that I've put in place to increase you, to bless you. And he says, have hope. Why? Because our everlasting Father cares. And the third thing is this, is our everlasting Father is always there. Always, always, always. Always there. Always there. Never leaves us. Some of us have been brought up in homes where we may have almost a feeling, almost a burden or a scar or a pain of kind of that sense of abandonment. We feel like we've been left to ourselves. You know, feel like we didn't have maybe that earthly father that was there to teach us how to be a man. Teach us how to be, how to experience love from a man like an earthly father or a heavenly father will do. That God loves us to that point. One of the things a great earthly father can do, one of the greatest things that you can do for your daughter is to teach her how a man should love her and not take advantage of her. How he should cherish her and protect her and guard her. How he should, you know, lead her. And a lot of times in our earthly homes, you know, one of the reasons why young ladies enter in and begin to enter into activities that are irresponsible, whether it be in the sexual nature outside of marriage or do some things that are against God's word and damaging to themselves, a lot of times it happens is because they have not experienced from an earthly father a sense that you're there for me, you love me, you care, you're compassionate. And unfortunately, in those sort of environments, there's a distance, there's a separation that begins to take place. And there's a searching, there's a seeking out of love, so to speak, or a seeking out for security. But no matter how much our earthly father, no matter how good our earthly father has been or could be in these types of settings, it never compares to the sense and the feeling that our God, our everlasting Father, is there. There's no sense of abandonment. There's no left to ourselves. There's no trying to figure it all out on our own. Our everlasting Father is there. He never leaves. Hebrews 13:5, never, he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You will never, ever be left to yourself. You will never, ever be left to your own demise. You will never, ever be on your own with God, because he's always, always there. Guys, this is literally what Christmas is all about. Forget all the shopping. Forget trying to figure out how we're going to, you know, we've spent too much, how we're going to pay the bills. Forget, you know, all the, oh, who did I forget? Forget all of the gifts. Did I get the right one? Am I going to be given the right one? Forget it all. Push it all aside. All the gift giving and all the cooking and meal preparation and all of it. Just put it all aside for a moment, because this here, Isaiah 9:6, is what Christmas is all about. That God rescued us. May we not lose sight that he's there. 700 years before he was born, for unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's faithful.